Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. Oh, Big Ten East tonight. Celebrate the most wholesome American, you know, and camp-like. As wholesome as a camp. We have cricket noises. Yes, cricket noises live. Jason Kirk's backyard in Kennesaw, Georgia.
Hey, y'all. We got loud bugs tonight. Bugs have been cooped up. It's been raining here for like a month straight. These bugs are ready to get rowdy.
Well, it's because SEC Media Day started.
They're chirping about Butch Jones' comments about what that son of a bitch Dan Mullen said. They're just so pissed off about Brett Bielema's subtweets.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Brett Bielema's not focused.
That bastard Brett Bielema. Seriously.
They want to know why Ed Orgeron, you know, why he's all buttoned up now. That's not who they hired. That's not who they wanted.
Get his ass out of here. This is a Big Ten East program.
Loud bugs are LSU's number one source of donations. Should be noted.
Loudbugs.llc.
SEC insects.
But we're not here to talk about the SEC.
No. Remember, the E in Big Ten stands for entomology. So this is one of those conferences and one of those divisions in a conference where you could say, oh man, this is the toughest division in football. You're not stretching. Like, I'm not fond of, you know, I'm not fond of those crew to crew statements, right? Where you go, well, clearly my value as an analyst is telling you exactly what the best thing is. Nobody cares what's best. Nobody. Right? You just want to be entertained.
Well, yeah. The problem is it's impossible to sort of answer that question, because it's like, do you just look at the best teams? Do you have to look like, or do you take the Voltron approach? In which case you're like, oh man, Big Ten East, you got some like big arms with lasers, and you got a head that has more lasers, and then you got that Rutgers leg that's just rotting. I don't even know how a robot leg can rot, but it is.
It's rusted, and it needs updates. You haven't updated it in years. It's got viruses.
We're gonna actually say one good thing about Rutgers, which is that they probably won't be as bad as they were last year.
That would be almost impossible. So yes,
it would be impossible. But I do want to give them a shout out, because sometimes you got to take a whooping, and then sometimes you got to take that Costco sized jumbo economy whooping, right? The big tub of whooping that you get and keep on top of the fridge. Right.
I honestly think Rutgers should just steer into it. Be like, you know what? We're still in the conference. You think we're terrible? You think we're an albatross? Guess what? Still around your neck, aren't we?
Cashing a check. You still have to feed that albatross.
It's like one of those movies where like the hero proves a point by letting the other guy kick his ass. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm bleeding from the face and your hand hurts and you got to keep punching me. Doesn't that suck for you?
Rutgers swore not to kill.
Yeah, well, they did give me, honestly, I have to thank them, because they did give me one of the great pleasures of the 2016 football season, which was getting beaten 78-0 by division mate Michigan. Remember the stats for this game? I enjoy saying them. They have a rhythm. They're almost a religious incantation. If you treat him the right way. 23 first downs for Michigan, 2 for Rutgers.
Which they didn't get their first down until like pretty late in the fourth quarter, if I recall correctly.
Pretty late in that old fourth quarter, man.
It was so late that when it happened, a viral moment happened, because Michigan fans all started hugging Rutgers fans.
They did, and they were chanting, fire the cannon. Fire the cannon. Michigan fans, the ones who were witnessing this slaughter this was at Rutgers, by the way.
An empty Piscataway Stadium.
Yeah, those who remained, they probably won't be champions, but no. they could tell the story about the time that Michigan had 600 total yards and Rutgers had 39, when Michigan did all this while having only 119 passing yards, because they didn't even have to pull out the passing game. They had 481 yards rushing. Rutgers had 5 passing yards and fullbacks, third string fullbacks scoring touchdowns late in the fourth quarter. Yeah.
Did we just start our Rutgers preview? We did, didn't we? Let's just keep going with it. It's fine.
Yep, oh, we're just gonna keep on rolling here.
It's fine.
Rucker, I wish I had backing music for like the inspirational Springsteen song we need to sing on this, right?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Is there one about how you immediately have to play a playoff team from last year?
You gotta cut out the game. You gotta get up off that factory and go to another factory. Cause you got like, a family to feed.
Would it be like eaten by a wild pack of dogs yeah. on the factory floor?
On
like,
a pack of dogs.
Here come the Huskies.
Eating new on the factory floor.
I saw a dog driving a Chevrolet, driving away with my wife one day.
With his union card in the window.
Yeah, my wife left me.
Woo! Yeah, this is.
I think that Rutgers is the only team to host two playoff teams this year. They also have to play Ohio State. So the beatings will continue.
Yeah.
So if you like 78-0, hold on, friend, because you're gonna get another one of those at some point.
It's bad. I mean,
is it doing good things there?
It's bad because they play Washington outside of the conference. They have to go to Nebraska. They get Illinois and Purdue, but does that matter?
I think so. I mean,
Illinois only scored about like 16 points a game in conference play last year, and that was a touchdown better than Rutgers.
So I think if we're trying to be positive here,
who said we're doing that?
Well, I said if. I didn't say we are. I didn't say we are.
Sorry.
You gotta be positive.
So 2-10 last year. Can they top that this year? Well, they get Eastern Michigan and Morgan State and Purdue at home. So yes.
What? But wasn't Eastern Michigan decent last year?
Yeah, Eastern Michigan.
Hang on. They were MAC decent.
That's okay. Fine. Are you saying Rutgers was?
Is Rutgers MAC decent?
Sure. The MAC is very bad. 2-10 in the Big Ten equates to 6-6 in the MAC. Yes. Check the translations.
Wow.
Okay.
Run it through Google Translate.
Can I point to a little ray of sunshine here? Who's our new offensive coordinator?
Well, that'd be Jerry Kill.
That's right. We got Jerry Kill back in the league. Switching divisions from the Big Ten West to the Big Ten East. You know, they'll be grittier. Jerry Kill's like super gritty. And everyone likes Chris Ash. So they'll be lovable losers. Also, I really doubt lose.
Hold on. So they have coaches named Ash and Kill. The whole theme of Rutgers football is death and disintegration.
Out on the highway with my gun.
Ash Kill.
Ash Kill absolutely sounds like a sad town in New Jersey.
Out on the road looking for a dark thrill. That's why they call me Jerry Kill.
I always thought Kill Ash was the worst Pokemon episode.
That's the one where Mewtwo like put him down, right? Remember, yeah, Mewtwo just straight up murked him.
Yeah. Just Mewtwo murked will him. Fuck you up, man.
Didn't even cry.
Mewtwo is heartless. Mewtwo is the Nick Saban of that shit.
Yeah, because every other Pokemon's like joking about being tough, right? Blastoise is like, oh, I'll do a cartwheel and shoot you with some water. Ooh, I'm tough. Mewtwo's like, murder. What's harder than murder? He's the Jadakiss of
Pokemon.
Pokemon world.
Top five dead or alive.
Please just pick a record for Rutgers.
Improvement. I'm going to take him up to 3-9.
I'm going to go to 4-8.
Oh, son.
I'm giving you Eastern Michigan, I'm giving you Morgan State, I'm giving you Purdue, and then I'm hitting you with this list, you pick any two. Maryland in the fucking Bronx, why? Michigan State at home, and Illinois anywhere. You pick two of those three. And that gets you up to 4-8.
So, question, do you have a chicken bet with Godfrey yet this year?
Oh, wow.
I would really like it to be Rutgers. I would like for you two to have to care about the outcome of Rutgers football games.
Wow.
Just think on it. You don't have to decide.
I'll look into this.
Okay. Let's swing in the total opposite direction. Can we talk about Penn State?
That's quite a swing.
I mean,
because in the year 2017, discussing Penn State football is actually a feel good thing. Believe it or not, folks.
Saquon Barkley. Let's just start this. You're not playing Penn State. You're playing names, right? Even if you still have trouble looking at Penn State football this way, just look at this. You got really cool people involved in this program, like Saquon Barkley, who you last saw in the Rose Bowl breaking people's knees.
Sure. You got Trace McSorley, who definitely sounds like, I don't know, like a Disney cartoon hero? I don't know.
I think he's a pilot, yeah.
Sure,
he's like one of the chipmunk pilots.
Yeah, on Tailspin. Yep, absolutely. Trace McSorley is a colorful cockatoo who throws deep, deep bombs. And then you have, well, you got to get a little Pennsylvania with it. You got Mike Gesicki.
Oh, there we go. I was waiting for the Pennsylvania to kick in. Here we are.
Mike Gesicki, who was 11th in the Big Ten in receiving yards last year amongst all players, first amongst tight ends. He was great. He might be the best tight end in the whole damn country this season. And he gets to catch balls from Trace McSorley and have Saquon Barkley distract defenses for him. This should be good for them. Also, they had a good defense. Like, Penn State was a pretty damn fun, good team last year.
You got Joe Moorhead, whose offense is the most NCAA football offense in the country. They just say, fuck it, man. Let's go deep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the first read. That's the first read on most of their plays is, hey, this guy's one-on-one. We're going to him. Go look at his coaching film. It's adorable.
Hey, guys, I got to look at Joe Moorhead's playbook. It's just a Nintendo 64 cartridge of NFL Blitz.
The whole thing says da-bomb.
Yeah, that, and in addition to that, Trace McSorley, yeah, he's got some Rex Grossman-ish tendencies. He enjoys a celebration or two, right? Which I'm sure several people in the Penn State fan base have issues with. That young man's got to mature. He can't be out there showing joy, having fun. But he doesn't throw many picks.
No, he only threw, what, 8 picks last year?
Yeah, and like 3 of those were in the Rose Bowl.
And I think another 2 of them were in the Pitt game.
Yeah, so combined, when they went on that 8-game win streak, he was playing unconscious football.
Looking at the schedule, hey, Pitt rematch, Lumen.
Well, you're going to lose to Pitt.
Then, like, hey, but they have butt shirts. But what about the butt shirts?
Yeah, lose to Pitt twice. Like, before that, Pitt's not our rival. Lose to Pitt twice. We made you a shirt.
So here's
Pitt in its current state.
Here's what confuses me. I want to buy that shirt. Like, the fact that you made it said butt made me want to buy it more.
Well, my favorite part about that is that Pitt fans had already done this.
Right.
Like, Pitt Twitter, they had already turned their logo into the word butt.
Right.
So, like, Penn State, what can you say about Pitt fans? I think Pitt fans are one of the most fascinating fan bases. Like, oh, shit, we're really rubbing your nose in it, aren't we? This is the Penn State preview. We're talking about Pitt. Well, just deal with it. This is a Pitt podcast.
We love you, Spilly.
Flip it in.
So, like, Pitt, you've got half the fan base. They remember when their team was, like, actually good. And they're like, actually, we were the 1940s Minnesota of the 1970s. So we're basically Alabama and Nebraska combined.
Tony Dorsett is the most important player in any sport ever. Next.
Ever heard of Dan Marino? He's probably the best current quarterback.
What about Larry Fitzgerald? I'm going to get modern on you.
Yeah, yeah. The most modern player we have.
And don't tell me we don't have players.
So you got that, and that's half the fan base. And then the other half is like, you know, LOL Birmingham bit, but, you know, like, we're terrible. Haha, LOL, we beat Penn State. That's impossible. Fuck them. Like, it's just a fascinating fan base. One of them is completely broken by reality, and the other one is living in this fantasy land where, like, we have as many titles as Syracuse or whatever the fuck.
So, yeah, you rematch Pitt, you get Georgia State and Akron, so not a real gauntlet of non-conference games outside of the Panthers. And then, I mean, you get – the road schedule is a little finicky because you have to go to Ohio State, to Michigan State, to Iowa, and to Northwestern. I'm not going to worry about that.
Just say to Ohio State.
Yeah, okay, fine. Although I do feel like Penn State Iowa always has good good potential for just extreme dumb fuckery, like I think, an overtime game that keeps getting extended by missed field goals.
Remember the original like 11-5 game, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
They needed 11. They got 11.
I think at Iowa and at Maryland, both of those have dumb fuck losability.
Oh, y'all, I forgot. 6-4.
Yeah, 6-4. 6-4 is the king. 6-4 is the king.
If you're a youngin' and you do not remember the 2004 Penn State Iowa game.
Yeah.
I want to read you the Wikipedia line in Penn State's bio about that game. All right? Are you ready?
Please.
This is a game that by many Penn State fans was considered a low point for the football program. Who considers this one of the finest moments in the history of their program? Iowa thinks this is the best. This is the game where Penn State coughed up the ball, according to the entry, and that's their phrasing, not mine. I prefer simple turnover. And Iowa took a knee. That's how the game ended. They just took a knee. Remember, the defense was playing so well, they took an intentional safety.
Yeah, they did that at the end of the game, late in the fourth quarter. And this is what Kirk Ferentz had to say about it. So the score is 6-2 at this point. And he says, it was a pretty obvious decision. Typically, if you punt off your own one-yard line, it's almost a guaranteed three for the other team. And this type of game, I sure as heck didn't want to give them three easy ones. I will remind you that at the time, Iowa was leading the game by 4. A field goal would not have mattered. Like, if you hold them to 3, you still win the game. There is definitely a world in which Penn State wins this game 7-6 because Kirk Ferentz has never been able to do math.
What we're saying is that if you're a Penn State fan and your team only scores 38 points in a game this season, right? Like, only. Remember the bad times. Remember when 4 points was an insurmountable lead for you to overcome.
It's good. It's great.
So we got a record on this thing, because I can see 2 losses.
Man, this preview went real pro Penn State to real twist the knife and a real. I'm sorry about that, Penn State fans. I don't know.
I mean, we got to knock them down a few pegs. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You knew I was a scorpion when you picked me up.
So I feel like if we were to take the team name and the coach away, and you just said you have the conference's leading passer, leading rusher, best tight end, and a top 20 national defense from last year, at least. I feel like we would say they're definitely winning this division, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
But you're not going to say that, though, right?
Well, but would you say that about this division?
I think if you just said that about a team in the Big Ten East, if you just said, like, this is all I'm going to tell you about a team, is that team going to win the division? You would probably just pick it.
Mm.
You're not if going I didn't, to, and if that's I fine. Didn't,
if I didn't know what else was in the division.
I know. So go ahead. Give a record.
Okay. Well, I think Penn State is the Big Ten's greatest Big 12 team ever. Can we agree on that?
Oh boy, their defense is much better than a Big 12 team.
Yeah,
and they also are like not that far removed from being a pretty traditional Big 10 team on offense.
I don't know, man. They chucked that fucking biscuit.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Let's see the total defense yards per play. Where are we sitting? 22nd. Okay.
Oklahoma State would kill for that.
Yeah, that would indeed have led the Big 12. So yeah, they're the Big 10's version of a Big 12 team. Okay, let's put
fine.
It that way.
Fine.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, you're going to lose to Pitt, of course. You'll always lose to Pitt forever. And you're going to lose to Ohio State. So you're going to go 10-2.
Damn.
Which is pretty good, cuz I'm not counting the weird at Iowa or at Maryland against you at all.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, Spencer. That's true. And since we're officially putting Michigan on next year watch, right?
Yeah.
We can just sort of paste that in and go, well, they probably can't keep up firepower wise, because as far as I know, Michigan has no receivers And Penn State definitely has one. And they have Saquon Barkley. So check, check.
So you agree with 10-2?
I'm going to go 10-2. I think they face, they lose one game. They lose one game that's stupid. And they lose one game, i.e., Ohio State. Ooh, I don't know. We beat Ohio State. Yeah, go back and look. Y'all caught a lottery ticket.
Fair.
Yeah, we beat them fair and square. True. The score was higher on your side than it was on theirs.
Fair and square and slightly dumb.
I've liked the paper, rock, scissors thing between Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan this offseason. Because, like, you'll see in the mentions on the CFB account, like, one of them's like 49-10. And then, you know, an Ohio State fan. The spot was good. And then here comes a Penn State fan running in. If we blocked your kick, whatever. We made the playoff. We are the University of Michigan. You know, they don't. All they can say is we beat Penn State pretty bad, but yeah, man, just y'all fucking work it out amongst yourselves on the
it's
field.
It's good. No, it's good. Next team.
Well, we went high. Time to go low again. Let's go to Maryland.
Ah, oh, okay, that's fine. Can we back up for a second here?
Oh, sure.
Maryland, I'm going to paint for you a picture. Picture everything Bear Bryant has done and meant to the University of Alabama. Hold that in your mind. Now, swap out Alabama for Maryland, and it could have happened because that's the first team that gave the Bear a head coaching job. And he left after one season, and do you know why he left?
He left because his AD was a dick, right?
He left because he suspended. So he had all these strict rules about curfew and no drinking, smoking, and all this. And he had a lineman who broke one of these rules. And the AD basically said, no, he can be back on the team. And Bear Bryant didn't like that. So he took the Kentucky job after 1 year at Maryland. And it's all, you know, you can follow the history from there. But if that AD doesn't fuck it up, man, maybe we're talking about Maryland as this all-time college football dynasty. And Randy Edsall is the one who is getting the Alabama job.
Yeah.
I enjoy rubbing that in. That's good. Cause it wasn't even like mama called, right? Like that was the line, like mama called. That's why I left for Bama. No, Kentucky called like you're like aunt in law. Like you're like aunt twice removed.
Called. I don't even like her.
No, yeah. I'm gonna go to a school where they value basketball more than football, and that'll be why I leave that school. Look it up. That's what he said. The Kentucky jokes, they've been valid for literally decades.
I do also enjoy why he left Kentucky, ultimately. Because the basketball coach got a brand new Cadillac, and he got a watch at the banquet. Love that. They're like, yeah, we'll give old Adolph Rupp a new Cadillac, and Bear, you get a watch.
You can time Adolph slaps.
And then Texas A&M capitalized by, hey, we will slide you large bags of cash that you can use to pay for student athletes.
We will let you torture them in a prison camp without any punishments, impunities, or oversights, right? Like, we'll just, here, just go do whatever you want with them.
It's better than playing in Maryland, though.
Yeah. I mean,
agreed.
Yeah, goes without saying.
Oh man. Maryland is kind of like, is Maryland kind of like slightly better fuck up to Rutgers, like extreme fuck up?
Well, Maryland didn't bottom out nearly as hard and didn't do it nearly at, like, it's the kind of thing where if you lose a game 82-10, technically in some sense, that's exactly the same as losing it 72-0. But it doesn't attract the same amount of attention. It doesn't, you know, it's not as, like, staggering when it happens.
They're Rutgers on the low. They're sneaky.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're homebound Rutgers.
They're like when Kyle Flood did that spy thing. Mm-hmm. Like when Kyle Flood was trying to adjust the grades or whatever and he got busted for espionage. Like, it was something really dumb. It was like He someone emailed, said, hey, we got dirt on your political opponent. And he was like, yeah, hook me up. It was like that dumb. But Maryland is like, if Rutgers was good at being sneaky.
Sure.
If you look at the schedule, they could be they could run pretty well up front, and then they just get hammered.
This schedule is a disaster.
What is pretty well up front? Who is the pretty well?
Towson. They're definitely going to be Towson.
Okay, Towson.
Okay, one.
Yep. You think they're going to go? Yeah. Let me put it this way. If they go to Austin and beat Texas on the road to start the season, this will be an amazing year of college football. Absolutely.
This schedule is deplorable. You might lose the UCF, and every single Big Ten game is losable, including the game against Rutgers, which is in the goddamn Bronx, which is apparently a neutral site, even though it's further away.
It's probably easier for most Rutgers fans to get to Yankee Stadium than it is to Piscataway, so.
Yeah.
I mean, they're getting better. That's the thing. They are getting better. Tell me what their easiest road game is.
Well, it is the Rutgers game, but other than that, I mean,
right?
Yeah.
Their easiest road game, and they'll probably get that. But then right after they face Towson, I believe, they go to Minnesota.
Yeah, they go UCF. Right? They host UCF, and then they go to Minnesota. Yeah.
Yeah.
They face like a fired up PJ Fleck and a Minnesota team that will have no idea what they're doing.
Well, and they're
doing a lot of it.
They also have their bye week September 16th. So it's like, hey, hope you stay healthy when you have to play 10 straight games.
Just storing up all that health.
10 straight games, 5 of them road games. Holy God.
When you're down by 65 points to Wisconsin, because, oh, yeah, you got to play Wisconsin. Just think back on these few moments when you got to have some quiet reflection.
Here's what I would suggest. Get through the Towson game, save your game, because you're going to want to come back to it. Definitely don't just go straight into the 10-game dungeon.
As soon as you get the checkpoint, just go level up against Towson while.
That's right. Grind. Play 12 games against Towson and just grind.
Keep playing Towson until you get a new hat. Until you get a hat that's +7, because you're going to need at least +7 to survive against
+7, the hat might beat Rutgers by itself.
I don't think Wisconsin has 7. I mean, I don't think Rutgers has 7. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Maryland 3-9, a worse record than Rutgers. Probably a better team, might beat Rutgers, but the schedule is just a disaster.
Yeah, and I think that's what you need to know up front about this Maryland team. Like, if you don't take anything else away from this podcast about Maryland besides, whoa, we could have had Bear Bryant. The thing you need to know about 2017, when you can't do anything about the past tragedies of Maryland football, is that the schedule is going to look real bad, and you're going to be much better next year. This is a crime against Maryland football, and that's saying something considering all of the crimes against Maryland football this program has committed. So, yeah,
mostly like check kiting,
Yeah, mostly check kiting.
I mean, no one really knows why they're in the Big Ten. So, like, the Big Ten dumping the schedule on them, take your lumps. Like, recruiting is looking up, and that's great. That doesn't really matter a whole lot for this year, but that's great for next year. You might finish fourth.
If you made a bowl with this, it'd be amazing.
DJ Durkin, coach of the year, if they win 6 games. Let's go high again. Ohio State.
Hey.
Oh. Can I tell you my biggest concern for Ohio State this year?
Sure.
And it's for the mental health of those involved in watching this team. Kevin Wilson is their new offensive coordinator. Kevin Wilson. And he's close to a legendary figure in that he was the offensive coordinator for the Northwestern offenses that sort of set the pattern for what would be like the power run spread game that everybody pretty much uses in one variation or another. Biggest fear is that Kevin Wilson is hopelessly infected with Indiana and will bring that madness to Ohio State.
Well, and who do they play their first game of the season?
Yeah, they'll get to wash it all out. Just have a big old Indiana to open the season.
I think the solution is not to fight to go away from Kevin Wilson. I think it's that you go through the schedule and you say, you can probably find a former coach for all of these. Like, absolutely. Bob Stoops, offensive coordinator for the Oklahoma game. Make that happen. You know, let's get the fridge in here when you play Maryland. Let's get Bo Pelini. Let's get Bo Pelini for the Nebraska game. You know, I think he
would join in.
Bill O'Brien, he might be free by the time you play Penn State. I think, I mean... Iowa is the only team that you look at and you're like, well, yeah, we can't find a former head coach.
Yeah, they don't have any former coaches
that we can use for them. But I think that
Hayden Fry's still alive, man. People forget that he's on that list of still alive. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That Bill Snyder's bye week? He might have some free time.
He wouldn't turn. I mean, Illinois, shit, you got like 8 to choose from. you could have a whole baseball team out there.
You could, you know what? It would be really sad if you hired a consultancy to figure out how to beat Illinois in football.
Listen, all I'm saying is if you get to the end of the season and you beat Michigan with Brady Hoke as your offensive coordinator, and yes, I know what I'm saying. That's the peak of rivalry, is it not?
That would be really rubbing it in, because then we're talking about like the, what did we call it last year? The Hoke factor. It was like the Michigan's
the absence of Hoke as a defense and the presence of him in Oregon. Yes, it was Michigan's
points minus what Oregon had given up on defense or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't know. Fucking whatever would be funny. Pretend I said it.
Yeah. Nailed it.
To beat Michigan with the Hoke factor actively working against you, it's like when you play a goddamn Mech Warrior on the PC in 1994 and they give you extra points if you only sent out one robot to the fight. Like if you sent two, they were like, oh, that wasn't very honorable. Your deck was a little stacked, and plus you used one of the sweet looking ones with like the rockets on its shoulders. Maybe if you hadn't used them, you could get more points. Maybe try again. That's what Ohio State is doing right now, trying out Brady Hoke.
Also, offensive coordinator. Oh man, please do this, Ohio State.
Yeah, I would love to see it. I don't know what you should do.
Oh man, I liked in going into like January when it was time to start thinking about like way too early 2017 rankings. And like, yes, dear listener, we in the media have to think about that bullshit. We don't really like want to. It's just like, you know, people are gonna click on it, so we need them clicks. I am not going back to work at the fucking grocery store. I swear.
Oh, man.
I have got too many goddamn pallets to ever be too cool for early, way too early rankings. I will put up 2025 rankings if it keeps me out of the fucking freezer.
We'll publish 2019 hot seat right now.
I don't give a goddamn. I will fire your coach right now, 6 years from now, if it keeps me having to unload an ice truck at 3 a.m. You hear me?
You haven't even hired that coach and he's on the hot seat.
I will can his ass. He ain't even born yet.
I will invent illnesses Urban Meyer hasn't even suffered from yet.
Oh, man.
I will infect him myself if need be.
So he got Chagas disease in 2019, at least in my storyline.
So, like, it was fun to look ahead, like, shit, Ohio State returns basically everything. They're going to be really good. Maybe they're your preseason number one, and then they go and score 0 points against Clemson. Ah, I guess they're preseason number two. So I think they'll score more points this time around. So defense, I think the defense is set. I don't, you know, you lost Luke Fickell, but shit, you got Greg Schiano right there. He'll be fine. You return tons of talent everywhere. Defensive line is incredible. Your biggest worries are like your secondary. We're like, oh no, you know, got to find 4 or 5 5 stars who can hold this thing up against fucking Rutgers passing game. And then on offense, things are a little iffy, and like the passing game is a little iffy. And okay, I think Urban Meyer and Kevin Wilson and the 19-year senior quarterback can figure that out. I mean, shit, man, this is 11-1, and that's easy.
Yeah, and I mean, the concerns that you have, like a complete lack of any experience in the receiving core and the inability last year to produce any kind of big plays at all, i.e. scoring 0 points against Clemson, which they did. Remember that thing where we say nice stuff about you, then stab you in the back? Yeah, that's what we're doing.
0 points.
Zero. Settle!
Hey, are you guys ready for some seamless transition here?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Clemson's a very good team. Their defense was, you know, a little up and down at points last year, but let's give them credit. They put a lot of good players in the NFL. They've run a very tough scheme. They, you know, in some sense, it's okay to say, yes, it's hard to score on Clemson's defense. You know what's not hard?
Hmm.
Buying tickets using SeatGeek.
nailed it.
Anybody can do it. Rutgers, you had trouble scoring against anyone. SeatGeek is just like, here, take these touchdowns. And by touchdowns, I mean tickets to games that are not Rutgers games. Think about that. If you're a Rutgers student, SeatGeek is here to bail you out. Not because you can necessarily sell Rutgers tickets for money. And I'm not going to suggest that you can, because that might be securities fraud. But what's the one thing you want if you are a Rutgers fan who doesn't want to go to a Rutgers game?
A ticket to literally anywhere else.
Exactly, because now you have a reason. Now you can say, oh, I'm sorry, I got to go to watch this Texas A&M game.
Oh, shit, sorry, yeah. I'm going to Oregon State.
Yep. Yeah, ooh, God, I accidentally bought Hawaii season tickets. Doing that. And SeatGeek makes it possible. SeatGeek is not just a ticket app. It's not just an easy way to save time and money by searching multiple ticket sites. SeatGeek is here to save you from yourself. If Rutgers is a disease, SeatGeek is the cure.
I like that SeatGeek, those two words, is the most Big Ten term you can imagine. Like, sitting in place and consuming knowledge.
Like, not moving, studying.
Not moving and getting smarter.
Yeah, I mean,
what do you think, Big Ten fans?
Yeah, that's just attending class. If you use the SeatGeek app and you enter the promo code SBNation, you will get $20 off your first purchase at SeatGeek, which, again, should be any game that is not a Rutgers game. Just use it to make sure that you, like, even if you don't like Rutgers, look at the schedule, find another game that conflicts, and that way you won't accidentally go to a Rutgers game. Because it can happen any. I've been to a Rutgers game, man. My wife has been to two. These things just happen to you. They sneak up on you, and next thing you know, you're in Piscataway, and you're like, oh my God, I'm here, and this is happening to me, and I have to tell people about it.
You could be somewhere else, and you know who can help you with that?
SeatGeek. Next team.
It was an amazing read. I want to get difficult. I want to do this while we still have some energy left.
Oh, okay. No.
Yeah, no, it's time to discuss the grim. It's time to discuss. It's time to ask the question, what happened to baby Michigan State?
Oh, boy.
The decimated remains of Michigan State. So, a thing a lot of people didn't seem to realize last year when they went 3-9 after starting in the top 15 was that was not a young team. That was an old team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was not a rebuilding year. The title of Bill's post, a preview for they had a rebuilding year record last year, but this is the rebuilding year. Everyone graduated. Everyone who didn't graduate got booted. This team could go 3-9 again.
You have to go back to, I'm still scrolling. Okay. 1982 to find the last time Michigan State lost 9 games in a season. Like, under Mark D'Antonio, this has been a extremely successful program. Gone to, what is it, 8 straight bowl games before last year. It's not like they were coming off of a fluke season in 2015. That was their third straight year winning at least 11 games. It was their fifth in the five. They had done that in 5 of the 6 seasons before that. So, like, I don't understand how you nosedive this badly. It's one thing if you go 7-6, 8-5, whatever. But, like, how do you go 3-9?
I think it lines up really tidily for Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan fans to say, like, oh, their window closed because we're good. You know, like, if all three of us are good, then Michigan State can't possibly be good. And, like, yeah, that's true in recruiting, but I don't think it's quite that simple. Like, we saw Michigan State.
And it's not that immediate, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, recruiting is not that fucking instant. I mean, they beat Oregon, a good Oregon. They beat a good Stanford. They beat a good Baylor. Like, they competed out of conference, other than the time they went to the playoff. And, you know, they won the Big Ten multiple times. Like, they were not just good because the rest of their division was down. They proved it against teams that weren't in their division. But, I mean, at this point, the issue isn't how they got down there. It's now that they're down there, they might never get back up. You know, it might be 10, 20, longer years before they get back up, you know, to where they were. Yeah.
Can they do it with the schedule is the question.
It's not that bad. I mean, what are the goals here? Like, are we talking a bowl or
a bowl?
There are several goals here.
Fill out the playoff, can you make a bowl?
Number one is beat Notre Dame, because then, as we saw last year, you can be worse than Notre Dame, but if you beat them, people won't talk shit about you.
Yes.
That's goal number one. And then goal number two is make a bowl.
So you play two MAC teams. Neither of them employs a fleck. That's good. You play Maryland and Rutgers. That's good. You get Iowa, Notre Dame, and Indiana at home. So beat the two MAC teams. Beat the divisions two historical lightweights. And then beat two of those three at home, and you're in a bowl. That's not impossible. I just don't know how you do it and what in the world you're good at. You still have LJ Scott. He can run. He kind of needs an offense to do that. But don't worry.
There is a looming continuing investigation going on regarding sexual assault by student athletes and how the university handled that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Those can tend to get worse and worse.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Also, there's a correlation that needs to be made here. Two of them. One, there's a running back. Okay, cool. Michigan State's got at least three games. That's it, because a Mark D'Antonio team, they'll run the ball 60 times a game if they have to in order to eliminate any kind of defensive weakness, which this is a weak team defensively. It's not very deep. It's not very experienced. It's bad. It's bad. It was bad last year. It could be bad again this year. So you're going to want to burn as much clock as possible. And Mark D'Antonio, more than happy to do that. Just he and Bill Snyder over there playing plate tectonics football. They're happy to do that. The other thing is this. Rich Homie Quan needs to put out a hot single.
Mm-hmm.
Because 2015, Rich Homie Quan puts out Flex, Michigan State. They go to the playoff, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you can't, that's right. You can't look back. Like
2016?
Daddy Yankee. I think that's who you go with this year.
Wow. No, that's Rutgers.
I'm just saying they need to adopt a rapper who's on the rise, or Rich Homie Quan really needs to put it down.
Can you make a coaching change this late in the game though? You gotta wait on Rich Homie. Things ain't been working for him, but
his van just got broken into. It's not looking good.
So they making a bowl? What are we talking here?
I think this feels like they will improve, but not much. Brian, I mean, how do you say, by the way, their quarterback's name? Because I know how I want to say it. His last name is Lewerke. I would like to say it. Lewerke.
Lewerke. Lil Work. I have 5-7 written down here. By predicting Michigan State to go 5-7, that counts as disrespect. Therefore,
yeah, I don't know if that works. I don't know if that works anymore.
You gotta believe, right? God damn it! We're gonna believe Santa Claus has slid off the ground the power of our wishes.
Yep, there it is. Michigan State, Utah Rose Bowl. You heard it here.
Just Jason standing up on the sled as Mark D'Antonio, the world's most sour Santa Claus, listens to him sing the Michigan State fight song out loud until James Caan joins in with him.
What did Santa bring me? Push-ups.
I do the world.
Santa wants you to do push-ups.
Santa's dead.
now it's D'Antonio's time.
It's Halloween. Halloween will never be over.
Man, Michigan State, Utah Rose Bowl. Can you imagine the weather? It'd be the mountain by the stadium turns into a damn volcano.
Welcome to Mordor.
All right, let's go up one more time. Michigan.
Woo-hoo. Okay, so they're going to beat Florida.
Yep.
And then we've already said that.
Yep.
The entire roster is gone. But unlike Michigan State, there are good players coming in that we know they're good.
Oh, yeah.
And also they have Wilton Spate, who is somehow also going to be there next year. Like, I think in our heads we had him as leaving this year, but he'll be back next year. So, like, things look fine at Michigan. It's like a total, complete rebuilding year, and yet they could win 8, 9, 10 games.
10 would be, yeah. 10 would be interesting. 10 feels a little out of reach.
I enjoy Jim Harbaugh for this reason, that his coaches are always getting hired away somewhere else. For instance, there's a new offensive coordinator this year. Tim Drevno, you don't need to worry his name. He'll be hired away in like a year, because you know what Michigan's offense is going to do? They're going to hit you in the face. That's every single play. It's very unpleasant. It's very brutal. They're just going to do that every single play, no matter who's in charge. Because Jim Harbaugh is, and Michigan fans, I mean this with all respect, he's kind of a dick.
Yeah, unrepentant suggests that he knows he's being a dick. And just doesn't feel sorry. But I don't think he knows.
No, how do you win? I don't know. Hit the other guy in the face.
Right, right.
This game isn't hard. Yeah, they're going to do that, and they're going to run the ball, just run the crap out of the ball whenever they can. Developing a nice threat off that would be good, because last year when Michigan struggled, it's because they didn't really have the ability to push the ball down the field, especially when their quarterback had a broken collarbone. That tends to happen when your guy breaks his collarbone.
See, this is why if Jim Harbaugh really, like, okay, have either of you broken a bone?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Did the doctor tell you afterwards, like, the good news is once this heals, it'll be stronger than it was before, right?
I'm sure they might have said that.
Okay.
Yeah, I was very young. And
do you accept my sloppy medical science, yes or no?
Yeah.
Hey, buddy, you're a lawyer.
Thank you.
So,
yeah.
If Jim Harbaugh really wanted this team to be great, he'd break everybody's collarbone intentionally so that it wouldn't break later.
He'd break his own intentionally as a motivational tactic.
Like, damn, like, he'd take them all up to Canada and put the Wolverine medal in their bones. What he'd do.
Yep.
Because, hey, it's right there in the name, isn't it?
Yeah. Logan's about a quitter.
That's
kind of weird.
He didn't finish the drill, did he? I mean, he crossed the line.
He made clear he didn't want to be Wolverine anymore. And the only way to stop being Wolverine once you're Wolverine is to die. So,
yeah. And the only thing that's that true. Can kill Wolverine. A lot of Logan spoilers here. Sorry, folks.
A lot of Michigan beating Michigan. In if you extend the metaphor, which that's hey, that's true. Happened at times. That whole movie is basically like the 2015 Michigan State ending. In that both are good, but they also both involve Wolverines beating Wolverines.
Right. Good. Great. Yeah, I don't know. I don't even have a sense if, like, because, you know, Spencer mentioned it earlier and he's right that everybody's sort of like, yep, next year is the Michigan year. So are there any lofty expectations for the Wolverines this year? Do people feel strongly about it, or are they just sort of like, yeah, whatever, as long as we, you know, don't lose any stupid games and maybe beat a couple teams we're not supposed to, we're good with it?
I would guess that as long as they clear 8-4, that everything is fine. I mean, yeah. People will make the stupid jokes. I take that back. People will make the pretty good jokes that Harbaugh has never finished better than third in the Big Ten East, which is deeply unfair, yet hilarious.
Yeah.
And likely still valid after this year. But, I mean, the pressure seems as off as it can possibly be in Michigan, because you don't have championship expectations this year, and you're also feeling great about the way things are progressing over the long term. And come back to me once they lose to Ohio State, see if they feel the same way.
Yeah. I'm gonna put them at 9-3.
Okay.
9-3.
I think a loss at Penn State and a loss at Wisconsin and a loss to Ohio State, and then no stupid losses, because I mean, at Iowa, that was pretty dumb. But, I mean, you had injuries and whatever, and it was a road game.
That will potentially be a little disappointing, though, because in that exact scenario, you're talking about a Michigan team that will enter the last 2 weeks of the season with one loss and at that point 9 wins. So I don't know. I think it might be. I think there will be some people who, if Michigan gets to mid-November 9-1 at that point, or 8-1 rather, and can't get through it.
It would be hard. It would be hard not to be disappointed a little bit.
They're like playoff number 5, then they lose 2 straight games. Harbaugh hot seat, but then they beat Florida in the bowl. They go 2-0 against Florida because they always play Florida.
It'll be in the goddamn Outback Bowl.
Ryan is over there crying his eyes out while wearing a damn onion suit. Hashtag frying Nanny, folks. Dial it up. We got to push this thing across the finish line.
Crying Nanny.
See, now we're not just talking about who's going to be wearing the suit on the sideline. Now we're also booking this fucking title fight.
It's an emotional arc. That's what
all your congressional representatives, if they're ducking you at the town halls, go to your local Outback and demand to speak to an assistant manager.
Yeah, let's make it happen. All right.
9-3. Yeah, if I didn't say that.
Let's end low.
Oh boy.
No. Let's end with.
They're not chaos team no more.
No,
chaos team is dead.
This division,
Penn State is chaos team now.
This is why Urban Meyer is the best coach in the game. By the way, he took a look at Indiana and he was like, let's get a little bit of that in our veins. Not too much. Just a little bit.
I don't want to play that shit anymore. Get it over here where I can contain it.
I'm only going to say one thing about Indiana, and then I'm going to let you two talk. Do you know that their practice facility? Do you know the name of their practice facility?
No.
Is it named after the recently fired basketball coach?
John Mellencamp Pavilion. I want to follow that up with this one paragraph from John Mellencamp's Wikipedia page. In September 2015. Mellencamp began a new relationship with former supermodel Christie Brinkley. In August 2016, the couple announced their separation after almost a year of dating. According to Brinkley, the split was based purely on geography. Quote, he didn't like the Hamptons, and I couldn't live in Indiana. John Mellencamp chose the state of Indiana over Christie Brinkley. Mm. Yeah, that's all. That's all I got.
You must have some awful personal habits we don't know about. I mean,
hey, can I tell you this? Does Christy Brinkley play basketball the right way? I bet she doesn't.
Probably not.
Probably a big believer in that foolish, like, threes, rebounds, and, you know, layups kind of, you know, Daryl Morey ball. That's not what Jesus wants.
Nope. I heard she likes spicy mayonnaise.
Aioli. Don't you ever say aioli in my presence again.
Get that shit out of my sight.
You can't hear it, but in my hotel room in Los Angeles where I'm doing this from, I just threw a jar of curry out the window in protest.
Get that out of here. Just boxed it out. You didn't swat it and do the Mutombo finger wag because that's not the Indiana way. You boxed it out.
That's showboating. Yeah, don't showboat. Don't showboat when you defend the mayo.
Put a hip into the mayo.
I did it without a single tinge of tan on my body. Pure Indiana.
that I believe. So now you two have to talk about Indiana. Sorry.
So you're replacing Kevin Wilson with Mike DeBoard.
let's learn you up on Mike DeBoard in case you don't know Mike DeBoard. You might remember him from the 2016 Tennessee football team as the offensive coordinator, the one that the offense was absolute crap until they just gave Josh Dobbs the keys, and Dobbs just over the last like 4 just turned into a demon and was incredible, but only when they were behind. Like Mike DeBoard's basically the king of hustling backwards, and then he's like, let's just keep the game close.
DeBoard was truly in charge of Tennessee's offense for about 20 games, and in that period they blew more come from ahead victories than I can remember any team doing in such a stretch in this sport. Yep. And before that, he was long time terrible to average somewhere in that range. Michigan offensive coordinator.
By the way, that he was the offensive coordinator that lost to Appalachian State.
Yeah. So Indiana. Hey. Oh man, and he's being hired by this part sort of makes sense. Defense coordinator Tom, a very good defensive coordinator Tom Allen took over the program. So what does he want in his defense? What does he want in his offense? Boring. Give me boring. You know, no more of that fun shit. Now we're going to be boring as hell. That's the goal. Indiana, I mean, it felt like the Kevin Wilson thing was sort of on a path. They made bowls. They never make bowls, but they made bowls under Kevin Wilson. And that's good. Like that,
you had a brand, damn it.
Yeah, you had that, and I don't know if you really call it progress, because I don't know how much higher you can progress from attending bowls if you're Indiana, but you at least had something, and now it's like, okay, you're going to be knockoff Wisconsin?
Well, Indiana was they went from somebody who was just very bad at Street Fighter to a button masher. So it's like, I don't think that you got better or you know, were like, wow, they're really good at that. But you're like, man, you are mashing those buttons very fast.
Okay. So you went from, okay. So, but now, instead of
now
button
just,
mashing,
now, just low in, block.
Now instead of button mashing as E Honda or Blanca,
yeah,
you're button mashing as Dalzim. And that is not the strategy when you're Dalzim. He's slow, he's lumbering. If you're just mashing buttons, you're going to get your ass whooped. You can win as Dalzim if you're Wisconsin, but you can't do that shit as Indiana. You need to get out there and let the electricity flow. Make the thousand hands flow like a big fat sumo wrestler. Maybe you're Chun-Li. Be Chun-Li, Indiana. Just don't be Dalzim.